Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the Minnesota National Guard's Family Reintegration Academy, and we'll check out a training program called Veterans in Piping. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the national unemployment rate for veterans post-9/11 was almost 12% in 2010. That number was higher than Minnesota's unemployment rate of 5.7% in 2010. This is very important to me, as later this spring, 2,700 soldiers of the Minnesota National Guard's 1st Brigade Combat Team will be coming home after a year-long tour in Iraq and Kuwait. An in-country survey of these soldiers over the winter told us that 19% of these soldiers are coming home unemployed. But these soldiers will not come home behind the eight ball. Right now, there's a team of 11 employment professionals in Kuwait prepping them for the employment battle they think they'll be coming home to. These soldiers are receiving career and educational goal-setting workshops, a career job search class, and getting an update on job trends in Minnesota. They are spending one-on-one time with human resource executives from some of Minnesota's finest companies, perfecting their resumes, and learning interview and networking techniques. I'm very proud of this joint employment response team that is made up of leaders from the Department of Employment and Economic Development, Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, Higher Education Veterans Program, the St. Paul Chamber of Commerce, HR representatives from Best Buy, Target, and U.S. Bank, and leaders from the Minnesota National Guard Reintegration Program. When the 1st Brigade Combat Team soldiers return home later this spring, they'll be more prepared than those who've returned before them. And we are confident we will see better results in soldier employment satisfaction and post-deployment issues. Veterans have a fast learning curve and transferable skills. They have experience with advanced technology, proven leadership, demonstrated teamwork, ability to work well under pressure, and know how to triumph over adversity. Hiring a veteran is good business.
Thank you, General Nash. And for our listeners, remember, if you're a veteran looking for work, or if you're an employer looking for good employees, good veterans, go to positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. This month, family members of the 2,700 Army National Guard soldiers deployed in Kuwait will be coming together to prepare for the return of their loved one. Joining us now to talk about that is Lieutenant James Johnson, Operations Team Officer in charge, Minnesota National Guard's Deployment Cycle Support, and Darlene Wetterstrom, Social Worker and Instructor at Family Reintegration Academies. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Darlene, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Lieutenant, I wanted to talk to you about the Family Reintegration Academy. Can you tell me what that is and what's its mission?
Certainly, as we just heard the general describe, we have 2,700 soldiers right now currently deployed. While they're deployed, their family members are dealing with the stresses of home and preparing for the reintegration. So what the Family Reintegration Academy does is it prepares the family members for that reintegration that's coming up this summer when the BCT does return.
And Lieutenant, I understand you're going to be putting up 4 Family Reintegration Academies?
Yeah, what we've realized, when we look at the state and the 2,700 soldiers who serve and are currently deployed, they're not all located in, like, the metro area, for example. They're distributed throughout the state. So when we look at what the intent of the Reintegration Academy is to prepare these family members, the best way to do that is to go as close to those family members as we can to encourage more participation. It's obviously something that they all aren't going to participate in. So if we can go to the communities where they're where they live and get closer to the families, we get more participation, and we can put that message out there to more family members. Where if we're in one location, like in the metro area, then we can't, like for Rochester families and Mankato and Brainerd families, it's more difficult for them to participate and get some of these tools that we put out at these academies.
And we've talked about the Red Bulls, the 1st Brigade Combat Team, on the show before. They come from 530 communities in almost every county in the state of Minnesota, so they really are spread out when you talk about pulling the families together, aren't they?
Yes, they are, and that's something the BCT asked us to do that, and we're happy to do that. We recognize that, you know, like, for example, I live an hour and a half from the metro area, and I try to put myself in the family's shoes. If I were deployed, would my wife be able to get my three kids up, get them in a car and drive all the way to the metro to attend an academy in the metro area? So we recognize there is that need out there to put these academies closer to the family members, and that's what we intend to do.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, and we're speaking to Lieutenant James Johnson from the Family Reintegration Academies. And Lieutenant, when you plan each of these four events, and it's a day long event for families, how do you put that together? What are their expectations? What are you trying to accomplish in these academies?
Well, it's several things. You know, there's two customers really that come to these academies. There's the child that comes to the academies that has child programming, and then there's the adult that comes to the program. Some of those adults could be spouses. They could be mom or dad of the service member. They could be an uncle, a grandma. And the child could be a child of the service member, a niece or nephew. So there's a diverse group that comes to these academies. But we're really trying to prepare the child for that reintegration moment with that service member. And we're trying to prepare the adults as well. Different communication issues that may arise, different stresses with the financial piece that may arise, you know, how to reintegrate with that service member that's been away for so long in a healthy manner is what the purpose of the academy is for the adults and the children.
So, Lieutenant, what type of a team do you put together to work with the families during these academies?
Well, the team, like right now, we're in the preparation phases of the academies, and the team, there's six of us that plan for the events. But when we actually execute the event, there's six of us that plan it, and we're there on the ground when the event goes on. But we pull together providers that may man a booth, that put out resources, or we have providers that teach classes like Darlene that we'll talk to here in a little bit. And we also have providers that provide volunteer resources that could help the families do stuff such as where to park. They help them find where to park and where the classes are. So we're expecting about 50 total staff personnel at each one of these events that are just there to serve the family members in addition to the family members that attend.
Darlene, we just got about a minute left before the break, but one of the reasons for putting on these reintegration academies is during a long deployment, the soldier who is away, in this case with the 1st Brigade Combat Team, and the families learn how to survive and get along without that deployed service member, don't they?
Yep, they do very much so. They become pretty strong, and sometimes it's hard to have them reintegrate with their loved ones because they've become pretty self-sufficient.
And so as a social worker and an instructor at the Family Reintegration Academy, then we're going to get into this when we come back from the break, but part of what you're doing is preparing them for what's going to happen when they do come home.
Correct.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, and we're talking to Lieutenant James Johnson, Operations Team Officer in charge of the Minnesota National Guard Deployment Cycle Support. And we'll be right back with more with Darlene Wetterstrom, social worker and instructor at the Family Reintegration Academies. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're talking about the Family Reintegration Academies with Lieutenant Johnson and Darlene Wetterstrom. And Darlene, just once again, can you tell us briefly what is a Family Reintegration Academy all about?
Family Reintegration Academy brings family members together as they prepare for the loved one's return. And in this case, it's 2,700 soldiers coming back from Kuwait. And it prepares them to get ready as far as emotionally and discuss about things they may be facing. There's quite a few issues that'll pop up, like how do you reparent together and how do you kind of establish that role back in the house. So it's a variety of classes that is set apart for the whole day so they can go hopefully away with new tools to use when the deployment is done.
Darlene, when I think about the soldiers coming back from the 1st Brigade Combat Team, I think about families as being spouses and the children, but you have some parents come in too, don't you?
We have parents. I've been with people who aunts or uncles were deployed, sometimes neighbors. It's a variety of people that attend these.
And what types of things are you trying to accomplish? Is this a one-day event?
This is a one-day event, and we accomplish it through a variety of classes as well as a provider, Ellie, where they can pick up material and resources to use as well as sit in classes that are of topics of interest to them.
And how much you've done these things a number of times, according to Lieutenant Johnson, they're ongoing as the troops come back. How much preparation do they need when the spouse has been gone for 6 months or a year or longer?
Well, I think they need probably a month or two to kind of mentally kind of start shifting. And for a lot of the families I work with at these events, they talk about as they kind of shift in their focus and getting ready by Skyping and calling ahead of time, like what's going to happen, what's going to be like when you're back. And then these classes hopefully solidify that and again, give them more tools to work with.
Do you see a pattern of things that happen over and over again with our returning soldiers and airmen and their families?
I do. I see a pattern of issues surrounding both communication and parenting that seems to be the bigger issues. And I think communication, because they haven't had a real typical communication. It's hard to talk through Skype and through phone calls. Usually it's pretty short. It's pretty focused. And so that's one area that they seem to need a lot of work with. And parenting is hard because children change a lot in a year. And a soldier may leave a 2-year-old and come back to a 3-year-old or may leave a 14-year-old and come back to someone who's now driving a car. There's a lot of big changes that take place while they're gone.
Darlene, how important is it that families of all shapes and sizes preparing for their service members return for deployment? How important is this?
I think it's very important, and I've been around doing this for a number of years, and I have seen the success, and I see people who have deployed again and again, and so I see some of the same people in my classes, and they come back because they really like what's offered for them.
Lieutenant, we're talking about the Reintegration Academy on the family side, but when the soldiers return, they've got some reintegration events to go through as well, don't they?
Yeah, yes, they do. Our office puts on a 30-day and a 60-day event for the units when they return. And when I say our office, we actually work with the units because every event and every unit's unique. They may have different needs. So we facilitate the event for that unit when they return based on their needs. And we work with them on the 30-day and the 60-day event, which those are approximations, not firm time frames, but there's also a 90-day event that the unit puts on themselves. So that's kind of what the cycle looks like. We put on an academy before they leave. We put on the reintegration academy we're discussing today while they're deployed for their family members. Then we also support them with a 30 and 60 and then the 90-day event as well.
You're listening to Minnesota Military Radio, and we're talking about the Family Reintegration Academies from the Minnesota National Guard. We're speaking with Lieutenant James Johnson and Darlene Wetterstrom. Lieutenant, I'm curious. I mean, I was deployed to Vietnam, and when I came home, all I wanted to do was come home. I would guess when your soldiers from your Red Bull soldiers are coming back, they just want to get home as well. Do they realize that things have changed a little bit and that there's a little bit of work to do to get back to where they were?
Well, I think with the focus the Army has now on the reintegration process and the briefings they receive, I mean, we recognize that their number one focus when they hit the ground, when they're back in the States, is to be with their family and try and start off where they left off. But with the briefings and the different classes that we put on for them, we try and help them with that reintegration and show them that there are issues that they're going to have and try to help them with that.
It would seem normal that in the case of the 1st Brigade, they're going to be gone for almost a year, give or take. The families have learned to deal with day-to-day issues while they were gone. And, of course, the soldiers covered 3 million miles in convoy security, and they're taking care of their missions day by day. And the focus is a little different. And when you come home, I suppose we hope that things are going to be just where we left them. But There is a little bit of work to do, isn't there?
Yeah, that is a challenge on our part, on our instructor's part, like Darlene, is to help them understand that things are different, and that's okay. And it's okay to seek out help if you're having issues. And that's the importance of these events and these briefings and these classes and pulling these experts like Darlene in to help these families out with these issues.
Darlene, I understand you've been involved in almost all or maybe all of these reintegration academies. How do the families react to the day long? How do they react to the information and the training you give them?
I think they're pretty receptive. The ones in my classes have a lot to say, and I think they really gain strength from each other because the classes are often a mix of people who have done this before and the people that this is their first time. And I think that combination works well in the classes. So I think they're very receptive and feel like it's a success.
Now, do some of those families follow up with you after the day at the academy?
They do. And sometimes they follow up with their spouse, and then I can work with them as a couple as well.
And since you've been there since we started this, how's it progressing? Is it working well? Are you evolving? Is it changing?
I think it's evolving a lot. I think in the beginning we just kind of guessed what they might need. And as time has gone by and we read the AARs, the after action review, the evaluations, it really informs what we need to do. And we've tried to get away from PowerPoints and make it more interactive. So it definitely has changed over the years.
And I'm particularly curious about, do you have separate classes for the children then?
There are separate classes for the children. There are activities for all ages for the children. And so they do their day whether their parent or parents are doing the other day.
I would guess the children are excited about having a spouse return home from a deployment. Mm-hmm. But do they have some other issues that they have to deal with as well?
They do. And for them, they're not always... they don't always feel like they have a voice for that, and they don't always know how to express it. So that is something that the children are given in their day-long programming.
And Darlene, one last question for our listeners out there that aren't part of the Brigade Combat Team. Do you have any recommendations for how they could prepare for the return of a loved one? For instance, if they had a loved one from the Navy Reserve or the Marine Corps Reserve that maybe went out one or two at a time, don't go out as a unit and come back as a unit, what can those families do?
Well, they could go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Our organization has a website that has a lot of good resources they can link to. There's Military One Source, and I would suggest that they ask around in their units because I know there's a lot of resources given in all branches of the service.
Lieutenant, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts about the Family Reintegration Academies?
No, we're just excited to help the families out. We're looking forward to the BCT's return, and I appreciate you giving us this time to talk about this program we're excited about on your program today.
And Darlene, any final words for our listeners?
No, just what Lieutenant Johnson said. It's an exciting time, and we're ready.
Well, it's a very important function that you're performing, and I'd like to thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Lieutenant James Johnson, Operations Team Officer in Charge, Minnesota National Guard, and Darlene Wetterstrom, Social Worker and Instructor at the Family Reintegration Academy. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how several Yellow Ribbon networks pull together to help a soldier in need. Any Yellow Ribbon Network volunteer will tell you the same thing. Finding service members who will accept support is the real challenge. But once they finally ask for assistance, help does not fall short. Last Christmas, the Cottage Grove Yellow Ribbon Network heard from a soldier in need. A young soldier had just given birth and had barely enough resources to get by with her two-week-old baby. The call went out for their fast action support team to other Yellow Ribbon networks for help. It wasn't long before Donna Stafford, chair of the Woodbury Network, was making the first of four trips to visit the mom. Each trip, Donna had an SUV packed with groceries, baby clothes, and even a solid oak changing table for the young family. Gift cards were also popular, as the baby's needs were certain to change as she grew older. The St. Cloud Yellow Ribbon Network heard of four other soldiers in the new mom's unit that were pregnant and might need assistance as well. They donated five new cribs. The young mother was astonished that so many strangers would reach out. With their help, the soldier and baby had everything they would need for all of 2012. Many thanks to the Yellow Ribbon Networks for their outpouring of support and going beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. To learn how you can get involved in support of Minnesota service members, find the Make a Difference button at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Coming up next, we'll learn about a training program called Veterans in Piping, right here on Minnesota Military Radio.
This is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. This message is to help employers recruit top-notch people. Did you know that only 27% of the men and women between the ages of 17 and 24 qualify to be in the U.S. military? That's right, only 27% qualify to be in the U.S. military. 1 out of 6 veterans were on the front line. That means 5 out of 6 veterans worked in supply and support positions. The United States military is one of the best training institutions in the world. Our veterans have received excellent training on the latest supply and support technologies, the same supply and support know-how that is required to contribute to the success of a company. The words unselfish, technology talented, and policy discipline describe most of our veterans. If those words describe the type of person you're looking for, do what I did. Add to all your job postings and your website that you're a veteran-friendly employer and participate in the National Hire Vets First campaign. Thank you, veterans, and thank you, military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're going to be talking about a training program called Veterans in Piping. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
March is Women's History Month. We take time to observe, celebrate, and pay tribute to the accomplishments women have made throughout history. For years, women have been serving in the military along with their male comrades. However, their service often goes unrecognized. As of September 2011, there are over 23,000 women veterans in the state of Minnesota. As we observe Women's History Month, it's important that we also take time to pay tribute and recognize the service and sacrifice our women veterans in Minnesota have made. This month, I encourage you to thank a woman's veteran for her service. There will be a Service Woman's Luncheon on March 31st to honor all service women, past and present. The luncheon will be from noon to 3 p.m. at the Gallagher Hansen VFW in South St. Paul. For additional information and to register for the luncheon, call 651-451-6007.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Ann St. Eloy, Special Representative, United Association of Journeymen and Apprentices of the United States and Canada. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, Ann.
Thank you.
Today we want to talk about a special training program you're involved in called Veterans in Piping. And I think it's interesting, earlier in the show we heard the message from General Nash, and he was talking about the 1st Brigade Combat Team members coming back, a large percentage of whom are going to be looking for work. And I know in some of the materials that you've shared with me before the show that it seems that there's a great demand for welders and fabricators and so forth. And can you tell me what you're doing and what is Veterans in Piping?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, we're blessed to be in an organization, United Association of Journeymen and Apprentices of the Plumbing and Pipe Fitting Industry, led by our General President William P. Height, that believes we don't do enough for our servicemen and women returning home. So with his vision, the Veterans in Piping program was created, and specifically initially in welding, because it has been designated a huge skill shortage. Most welding jobs are not jobs can be exported overseas. We need to rebuild the infrastructure in our country. So we know, besides the fact that baby boomers my age are going to be retiring, that there's already a huge skill shortage, and our industry of plumbing and pipe fitting is going to require some of the best welders around. So again, with that vision, we went forth and we took a program that we had in place that was nationally recognized, an 18-week program in welding, and we tailored it to work with the military and the state government, first of all in Washington State, almost three and a half years ago, it started, and we started our first Veterans in Piping welding program. The idea is once our military men and women have trained, they are guaranteed a job. This is not a job interview. They complete the certifications. They are directly entered into a five-year apprenticeship with 1 year of credit for their 18 weeks of technical training.
Anne, that sounds like a lot more weeks than I would have thought for welding, and I'm sure it goes into much more detail, but how do you take care of the men and women that are in this program? 18 weeks is a long time. I'm assuming you house them and feed them and train them, and this must be costly.
It is costly. The training itself is very expensive, and the UA pays for all of that. We don't get any assistance from the government or the military. As far as the housing and keeping them, we've had great support in the state of Washington, also in the state of Wisconsin, where we recently last year opened our first Veterans in Piping Welding program at Camp Douglas Fort McCoy. And we've had great support from the Department of Veterans Affairs, from the Apprenticeship Bureau, from the National Guard and the military of the state. And we're looking to do something similar here in Minnesota.
So you're actually taking some funds from the membership that you already have and investing them in training new welders and new people in the program in the hopes that you're going to keep building your membership?
Exactly. We take from a fund called the International Training Fund, where all of us as members contribute 10 cents an hour into a fund that's designed to train our members. And President Haidt has seen fit that we need to train our veterans coming home. So first of all, as he says, because it's the right thing to do. But second of all, because they are a perfect fit. We're a family in the UA. I'm third generation myself. And we want the right men and women. And we believe that the military training they've had absolutely complements what we do. And it's going to eventually carry them from their apprenticeship into great leadership positions.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio, and we're speaking with Anne St. Eloy, Special Representative, United Association of Journeymen and Apprentices of the United States and Canada, about the Veterans in Piping program. And when we come back from our next break, we're going to talk to a member of the Wisconsin National Guard that actually went through this training. But Anne, who all is eligible for this program?
Returning men and women who are National Guard, reservists, and also men and women. We do have a program that trains active Marines down in Camp Pendleton as well. So you can get more information on our website to see about your eligibility for the program. And can I www.uavip.org?
And
that would be a good place.
But this program trains Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine veterans, as well as active duty National Guard and reserves.
That's correct. All branches of service.
And how many people have completed the training?
Probably about 300 now.
300, and most of this was at Pendleton, was it?
No, most of it's been in Washington State, and then Pendleton came on board about a year later, and now we're in our third class at Fort McCoy, Camp Douglas, Wisconsin.
And is this program coming to Minnesota soon?
We pray it is. We're looking to do that, and we certainly have good support here in Minnesota. And we're also starting a new branch of the program, Veterans in Piping, Heating, Ventilation, and Air Conditioning Refrigeration. And we've just started our first one in Washington State. And our intent, General President Haidt's intent, is that we would want to look at probably doing some of that kind of training in this area as well.
And hopefully, as you say, we pray it comes to Minnesota. How many trainees do you think the program will be able to handle in Minnesota?
Normally, in a class, there's about 16 trainees in each class. And then they run, once one class completes, we have another one go.
And if our listeners are interested in applying for that program, where was it they go?
www.uavip.org.
Uavip.org.
Correct.
And I'm curious now, it's an 18-week course. How intense is it? What all do they get into?
Very intense. Remember, they're granted one full year of credit towards that five-year apprenticeship. So we're not only teaching them to weld, sometimes right from scratch, but we're teaching them to do pipe welding with all different kind of alloys and metals. There's also other pieces that are brought into the program from piping, general piping, safety. So it's very intense to complete that kind of training in 18 weeks.
And you said they're given 1 year of credit. So that means once they graduate from the program, they come out and they join as a member in their second year?
In their second year of their apprenticeship with four more to complete, yes.
And you say you've had almost 300 of them go through the program.
Correct.
How are they? Are they doing well?
They are. We have probably about an 85% success rate. Many of the people that we lose from the program is because they re-enlist or get deployed. So we've done a great job. We suspect that will be much less now that we're kind of finishing in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we've had really great success rate. They're already competing in our top apprenticeship competitions, and I expect one of them will win them one day. And General President Height says himself that one day he expects one of them will have General President's job.
That's pretty exciting. I like it. We've been speaking to Ann St. Eloy, Special Representative from the UAE, about the Veterans in Piping Program. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chuck Buari, a VIP graduate and a member of the Wisconsin National Guard, and we'll see what he has to say about the program he went through. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Ann St. Eloy from the United Association of Journeymen and Apprentices of the United States and Canada about veterans in piping. Joining us now is Chuck Buari, a VIP graduate specialist and a member of the Wisconsin National Guard. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Thank you.
Can you tell me about the VIP program? You've been through it. How did you find it, and what was it like?
The VIP program is so far the best program for veterans. I went to the program. It was like a 16 weeks program, and we had training. We were training how to weld. We had a couple of classes. And it was a very good program.
Those 18 weeks, was it full days? It was a lot of work?
Yes, it was very intense. It was an 18 weeks program. It was so much intense, and there was so much expectation from us.
Did you find that your experience as a veteran and a member of the Wisconsin National Guard helped you with that training and helped you get into it and learn it?
Yeah, the discipline I had from the military really helped me to go through the program, because with the program you have to be on time, you have to be a good listener, you have to be respectful and hardworking too. So,
and sit at attention while you're in the classes, right?
Yes.
Now, you've completed the program, and one of the interesting things about this program is they guarantee you a job.
Yes, that's right. After the program, you are given a job, and you can even decide to transfer to any part of the state you like, and you'll be given a job.
And so you found employment after you completed the program?
Yes, I got an appointment with the local 539 in Minnesota, and currently I'm working with Howitt Mechanical.
And how long have you been there?
For almost six months now.
And the training was very helpful. You know how to, you picked up the job right away, and it's going well?
Yeah, I was good to go. I was right on a job. The experience I had from the training really helped me.
And this was a free training program. Veterans in Piping took care of all the costs, housing, food. You worked hard, and it's done well for you.
Yeah, it was free. Yeah, I didn't pay nothing. The UA took all the costs. We were given some lunch. All the training materials were provided by the UA, and it's absolutely free.
And this sounds like a pretty good success story. A member of the Wisconsin National Guard came out, got into your program, got a nice job.
Right. He makes it sound a little bit easier than it was. He actually had to go to school 10 hours a day to complete at 50, and he graduated with several welding certifications. We're very proud of him. He's working 6-12s at the moment, making a whole pile of money as an apprentice, a steam fitting apprentice for Local 539 in Minneapolis. And he's very good, and I think the contractor's very happy with the training he's received.
I wish the listeners could see how big a smile he's got on his face. It's a pretty good program. You can get that free training and a job and then go out and start making a lot of money. Chuck, you're pretty happy with this program, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm really, really happy with the program. It's one of the best programs so far for veterans, and I encourage every veteran to apply for this program.
Very good. And one last question, Chuck. I understand that you're in the Wisconsin National Guard, but you're going to look to transfer over to Minnesota?
Yes, I'm in the process of transferring to the Minnesota National Guard.
So you're also going to stay in the Guard for a while?
Yes.
Terrific. Thanks for joining us today. Anne, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would just like to say that I actually have more apprenticeship positions than I have graduating veterans in piping. And please go to www.uavip.org for more information. And I'd love to help all of you out there interested any way we can.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. That was Anne St. Eloy from the United Association of Journeymen and Apprentices of the United States and Canada, and a veteran in piping graduate specialist, Chuck Buari, from the Wisconsin National Guard. Today's kind of a special day. Last week, if you were with us, you heard us announce that for the first time we added a syndicated station, Little Falls Radio, and you heard us announce that the show, Minnesota Military Radio, was the recipient or was notified by the National Guard Bureau that we will receive an award, the Best Radio Information Program in the Army National Guard, an organization of more than 300,000 soldiers. Just to flash back for a moment, we've been on the air for 16 months, and it was my pleasure about 20 months ago to meet the program director from Twin Cities News Talk, Andrew Lee. And when I met him, he had an idea. He was kind of this was his brainchild. He wanted to put on a Minnesota Military Public Affairs program so that we could talk to the veterans and the Minnesota National Guard active duty troops in the state of Minnesota about what is going on with the military, which is these days a small part of our population is in the military, be it active duty, guard, or reserve, serving our country and risking their lives to protect our way of life. And so we got together with the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard and the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and talked about the program, and away we went 16 months ago and started this program. And we've been on telling stories about the military in Minnesota, including the Air and Army National Guard, Reserves, Navy Reserves, Marine Corps, Coast Guard. We've been talking about veterans benefit programs at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA. We talk every week about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs and all of the communities in Minnesota that support the troops and their families. And, of course, we've had on organizations such as 3M, who were the recipient of the ESGR and the Patriot Awards, and the line of hospitals and clinics and many others. Without the participation, support, without the wonderful people at Twin Cities News Talk, we would never have had an opportunity to bring this program to you. And some of the other things we've been able to do is bring you some history. We've brought on veterans, such as a couple of Tuskegee Airmen. We had a young man that was served in Patton's Third Army and served in Nuremberg war trials and at Dachau. We had on a survivor of the Bataan Death March, Pearl Harbor survivor. We've had on the women Vietnam veterans who wrote a book called Sisterhood of War. We've had on veterans from just about every conflict that are still with us. We've also talked about MinSCU, Minnesota State College and University Systems, about their veteran service centers, the Minnesota Patriot Guard, and how much they support everyone in Minnesota and all the veterans. Honor, dignity, and respect is what they stand for. And then we've had on from the Navy, the members of the crew of the USS Minnesota, which is a brand-new nuclear attack sub that's being built out east. We've talked about the stand-downs to help homeless vets. We've talked about the Fisher House. all of those things that we've been able to bring to you, we've been able to bring to you because Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, has stood behind us and supported the troops and supported their families so diligently and so magnificently. From our producer, Adam Tilsner, to the program director, Andrew Lee, the account executives, everyone here at Twin Cities News Talk has been fantastic. And it's allowed us to take the show on the road. We've gone to Camp Ripley. We've seen the Minnesota Military Museum. We've been out to the Chanhassen Legion, up to Cragans for a Yellow Ribbon event last week. And last year, we were able to go visit the 1st Brigade Combat Team over in Kuwait. We've talked about programs, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, Honor Flight, Serving Our Troops, Sweet Martha's Cookies. She sent 30,000 of them over to the troops in the last few years. The Armed Forces Service Center, Paw Pad Service Dogs, Disabled Vets Rest Camp. We've had folks on the show from the Secretary of State to the Governor, the Adjutant General, and the Commissioner. And for myself, the host of this program, I'd just like to go online one more time and say thank you, Twin Cities News Talk, for allowing us to bring all of this to the air. We've got many, many more stories to tell, but without Twin Cities News Talk, I don't know how we'd ever do it. So if you have a chance, go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and thank them for putting us on the air. We're just about out of time. I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Darlene Wetterstrom and Lieutenant James Johnson from the Family Reintegration Academies, Anna St. Eloy and Chuck Buari on Veterans and Piping, Commissioner Larry Shalado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we look at Minnesota's emergency preparedness and discover a veterans resource available in every country. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.